Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today we're going to share with you our experiences in conducting a behavioral risk factor survey among Arab and Chaldean populations in Michigan. Hopefully by the end of this presentation we will be able to identify our challenges and share with you our challenges of conducting this survey and describe a process for collaboration between a state health department, universities, and an Arab and Chaldean serving social service organization, and also our attempts to develop a strategy to conduct health surveys for Arab and Chaldean across the in our state. Neither Dr. Perlstadt or I have any relationships to disclose.
I'm saying yes.
Yes, okay. I thought you would.
No.
Okay. So I didn't think you told me that.
No.
Okay. So Arabs are people who speak Arabic as their native tongue and who identify themselves as Arabs. There are about 350 million that make up the Arab world, including 22 in countries of Asia and 8 countries in Africa. Chaldeans are also from the Arab world, but they are not considered Muslim. They are mostly migrated from northern Iraq, and actually there are very few who are left in Iraq these days. They're mostly Catholic, and the language they speak is Aramaic. I'll go back to my previous slide. Most of the immigration occurred to the United States, Arabs to the United States in the 1880s. There's estimated 3.7 million who currently reside in this country. Arabs and Chaldeans live pretty much in every state, but two-thirds of them live in just 10 states, and a third of them live in 3 states, Michigan, California, and New York. Michigan, actually, for those of you who don't know, is probably has the largest concentrations of Arabs and Chaldeans in the country. And it's estimated that about 490,000 live in Michigan. We've adjusted that for underreporting, and we're sure there's significant underreporting that's occurring in our state. Arabs and Chaldeans constitute about 5% of the state population, and the two largest groups, ethnic groups, are Lebanese and Iraqi. They primarily live in southeast Michigan. That's Detroit, Dearborn, and I just talked to Steve Gold, who's here, and there's a significant number in Macomb County. Among those who live in Michigan, under 40% were born outside of the country, and 27 is the median age. And this map sort of gives you a picture of where Arabs and Chaldeans are concentrated, and the darkest concentration you'll see that southeast Michigan. So why do we embark on this process? Well, part of this is because we realize that Arabs and Chaldeans are at a pretty interesting social crossroads. They are considered white, particularly in the census. When the data are collected, they're considered white. So therefore, there's very limited data available. And also, for that reason, then the health of these populations is very understudied. Gotta find my notes here. So as a result, we decided to embark on a collaborative process to try to collect better data for Arab and Chaldean Michiganders. And so this collaborative process involved the State Health Department, our office, and our epidemiology division, and 3 universities, Michigan State University, Wayne State University, and Saginaw Valley State. And the largest Arab serving organization in the state. And as you can see from the slide, each one brought their own particular expertise to this particular venture. And this particular slide shows you exactly who was involved in this process. Very interestingly, during this time, In 2010, there was a collaboration between Michigan State University and Access, which is the social service agency. They attempted, or they actually conducted, 90 convenience face-to-face interviews with Arab and Chaldeans living in Southeast Michigan. And the idea was that they could collect health data, and they was, the methodology was to do face-to-face. And while that was going on, actually, in our section, we were looking at improving data collection for Arab and, for all minority populations in our state. The section I work for is Health Disparities Reduction and Minority Health, and we were established in 1988 by the governor's executive order. And primarily, we serve as a coordinating body for health issues related to racial and ethnic populations in our state. In 2007, we actually passed, as a state, minority health legislation, which amended our current public health code to say that the state was responsible for building a structure to eliminate racial and ethnic health disparities. What is different about Michigan is in most states, when they identify racial and ethnic populations, Arab and Chaldean are not listed. In the state of Michigan, Arab and Chaldean is considered a minority population, a racial and ethnic population. So there are health systems that are actually starting to collect independent data by racial, by ethnicity. And our state really wanted to move forward in doing something about getting better health data on these populations. And so in 2010, when Michigan State and Access were doing their survey, we were developing what we call the Health Equity Roadmap. And the primary recommendation out of that roadmap was to improve data accessibility and data collection on racial and ethnic minority populations. So synonymously, serendipitously, these two efforts came together, and that is how we began this journey in terms of developing and implementing a behavior risk factor survey for Arab and Chaldeans in Michigan in 2013.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, I'll very briefly go over behavioral risk factor surveillance system is a system of survey designed and coordinated by CDC. It develops standard core surveys to be administered yearly in each state to collect data on preventive health practices and behaviors, and the CDC specifies a rigorous set of standards in terms of sample design, respondent selection, informed consent, scheduling, and so on, so that the CDC can then compare data across all states and have a national report. States are allowed to add questions of particular interest to the state's behavioral risk factors. So in Michigan, it's the Michigan MI Behavioral Risk Factor Study. And as Cheryl was talking, we have conducted standalone surveys in Michigan. Her unit has health surveys on Hispanics and Asians since 2012. Okay. What we needed was a oversample of Arab Americans. As mentioned, they only compose about 5% of the population in Michigan, and the Michigan BRFS collects too few respondents for a meaningful analysis. So the minority health section's priority is to improve the availability of health-related data, she mentioned, in Michigan. And Michigan is then the first state, as we mentioned, to conduct a BRFS probability sample of Arab Americans, which is what we did. There are a number of challenges we faced. Doing a phone survey, you usually go to a sampling company that then gives you a list of phone numbers and areas that you want to call into. So that was not developed for Arab Americans. And then we needed because of the large language problem, we needed the BRFS to be translated into Arabic. Our target was 400 interviews with non-institutionalized Michigan adults of Arabic and Chaldean background in 2013. So we worked with independently, again, Kendra Schwartz, a physician at Wayne State University School of Medicine, was doing studies on chronic disease and developed a surname database to identify Arab Chaldeans and medical records of health registries and and health registries and medical records. So she went to the MDCH birth and death certificates for records of birthplace and ancestry of from country identified as Middle Eastern or North African on these vital statistics, birth and death records, to get the names. And then they did a survey testing its validity and reliability and found 89.5% of those with surnames in the database self-identified as being Arab or Chaldean descent. And then in 2013, they redid this and updated it, and the validity got up to about to 90.8%. So we're fairly confident that we our sampling for the phone survey was very good. We then went to the Michigan State Institute for Public Policy and Social Research. We conducted the study, went to the Michigan Census Tract and divided them into three strata. The first one, high density, had 10% Arab Chaldean ancestry. The middle density had greater than 4 but less than 10%, and the low density was less than 4%. Then telephone numbers were randomly selected through proportionally with from each strata, and the landline samples were screened against the physician's surname database. And as you can see, for the high density stratum, we got 27.9% matches, medium density 6.2%, and low density 1.8%. And the yield closely matched the expected rates based on the census profile from the census tracts. We then conducted interviews. Were completed both in Arabic and in English, about half and half, half in Arabic, half in English. We had the survey, as mentioned, translated into Arabic, and the interviewers were provided cultural training by our partner from Access in Dearborn. And we used core Michigan behavioral risk factor questions, and we added some additional ones. We added a number of demographic questions. The first thing we asked was, are you Arab American or are you Arab or Chaldean descent? And that was required for eligibility and screening, and so we moved that to the very front of the survey of the phone call. And then in the normal demographic section, we added, what country were you born? When did you come to the United States? In what country was your father and then mother born? What is your family's country of origin? Would you say your religious affiliation is Muslim, Christian, another, or none? What languages are spoken in the home, and how well do you speak English? We also added several other questions. Among the health questions we asked were, where do you go most of the time for health care? And we did this because Access runs a health clinic in Dearborn, and in our pilot study we found that a lot of people didn't have health insurance, but they had a resource for health care, and so we wanted to, and we went to collect that. So we have Access, the Access Clinic, community health center, health departments, hospitals, ERs, and practice, private practice, and so on. Then there was a section in the Michigan BRFS that was related to adverse child experiences, and so we included a statement that cultures differ in the ways children are raised and disciplined, and we were interested in information to prevent family and partner abuse. And then the main BRF state added one question about whether people smoked tobacco using nargile, hookah, or water pipes, and MSU IRB and the State Health Department IRB approved of these. The survey was conducted, oversample was conducted between May 23rd and September 2013. We had 400 interviews, 387 from the landline and the rest from the cell phone, and we have completion and refusal rates. And then the Michigan behavioral risk factor was conducted over the year. Again, this is CDC requires that they certain number of calls be conducted quarterly over the year, so it ran from January 2013 to late January 2014, and the Michigan BRFS collected 136 Arab Chaldean interviews, and then we have a combined data set of 536 total interviews that we'll be looking at. Of the 400 oversample completed, 50.5%, as I said, were conducted in Arabic. In terms of numbers, 192 were males and 208 were females, but this is a very complicated survey, and so when you weight it out, it turns out the males are in a weighted 52.2% and females 47.8%, and we were told that we're going to have to use special weighting programs when we run our SPSS and other analyses in this. And so the analysis will be conducted soon. Interviewers reported requests for assistance with locating a medical provider. So we went outside of the access Dearborn area. And when these surveys were conducted previously by Michigan State, there were no requests for other BRFS, for the other BRF projects they conducted. And so we believe that this population needs high, has a high perceived need for health, reported need for health care and health services. So we're working on that as well. Okay.
So I just want to share with you all some of the challenges of doing a project such as this. And the first, obviously, as Dr. Perlstadt just talked about, was identifying a sufficient sample, particularly in a cost-effective way. The other thing was the cost-effectiveness of doing the methodology landline versus cell phone. And as it turns out, landline, we got much better response with cell phone not having any name connection nor geographic connection. The other thing was translation. That was a very time-consuming process with trying to make sure that the language used in the survey would work with a number of people from different countries of origin. And so we spent a lot of time in translation and back translation and things like that. And the other thing that naturally comes with any kind of data were the challenges around data handling. This for the statewide survey where there were Arab and Chaldean respondents, CDC has a process where you have to send the data back to them and then it comes back and then the state has to publish. So it did hold us up in terms of time, but also in terms of how the data were handled. And then there are always rules about suppression and confidentiality that we had to abide by, and we have to abide by. In terms of strategies for further implementation, we thought that for anyone who's thinking about doing something like this, partnership was a very critical piece of this whole process. And it brought people to the table who understood the population. It also enabled us to embark on a community participatory research project to conduct the survey. And the importance of state-level support and funding, which came from my organization, obviously was critical. Otherwise, this would never have taken place. And we needed the survey research expertise that we have from Michigan State and we had from the Survey Research Center who conducted it, and also from the Michigan Department of Community Health Epidemiology people. And the surname database was critical. By having that tool, it probably cut our costs close to 50%. So future steps for us, the analysis and dissemination, we expect to have this completed and a report out by the spring of 2015. Our hope is to repeat this every 2 years, 2 to 3 years, if funding allows. It will continue to give us, over time, good trend data on a population that we have not had this kind of data before. Also, in assisting with replicating this across other states, particularly states who have significant Arab populations, hopefully there are good implications for that if we're successful here, as well as Dr. Hamad, who works with us from Access, has a dream of doing some cross-national surveys as well. And lastly, in terms of partnership between the Arab Community Center and the universities and MDCH, although this took 4 years, it's 4 years in the making, we think it was a really good way to go about this. The separate oversample incorporating this methodology was very successful, we feel, and the BRFS data will provide very useful information, particularly in terms of identifying health disparities and barriers to care for these populations, and also will aid in the development of effective and culturally appropriate programs and services. And lastly, I wanted to say that some of this work will be presented at the seventh International Arab Health Conference that's being held in Muscat, Oman, which Dr. Hamad, who works with us on this, is very instrumental in pulling together. Thank you.
Oh, you got to show the slide. One more.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, otherwise they would not forgive us. That's right, that's right. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Rear or Dr. Colstead? Yes, in the back. Would you please repeat the question into the room?
Could you say something about Michigan's decision to use Arab, Chaldean, or Middle Eastern ancestry as a category on vital records or death certificates?
That question, you want to know about Michigan as a state's decision to include Arab and Chaldean classification on the death certificates? Is that what you're asking?
Birth and death certificates can also be used as a data source to characterize child status.
Are you asking me if that's the case? Because I can't answer that.
It's a loaded question, Cheryl. Yes,
I know it's a loaded question. I can tell you this, Steve. I know that we have an internal work group that is looking at race, ethnicity, language, and disability status data collection consistent across our department, and vital statistics is part of that group. How's that?
That's good.
yes, over here. Do you know why people refuse? Did you collect any information about the refusals?
I don't think it's standard on the BRFS to ask people why they refuse. As far as I know, they don't. They just...
I mean, go back. I don't think our refusal rates are you can tell us whether you think they're out of line or not, but...
Is this one?
Yeah, so the refusal 15.1. Landline rates was 15% on the cell phones, was 11% for the main BRFS, and for the oversample, the landlines was 16 and the cell phones were 21. So they do seem to be in the same range for both... No, what we did get, as we mentioned, were people volunteering and saying, can you tell us where we can get health care, which we have not run into in our other studies.
Yes.
Your question on source of medical care, was that open-ended, or did you give them a forced choice?
I think we just asked it open-ended, but the coders were given the categories.
I asked because the Access opened a second...
In the country.
Okay.
In 2012, I think.
Right.
So they now have at least two primary care.
Okay, we can look at that when we analyze the data by county.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in seeing that data. And without even asking to be recognized again, will you consider in the future also including as partners the county health departments and the counties with high concentrations of Arab Americans? We'd certainly be interested in participating in principle and who knows, in a couple of years, we may have a couple of
funds
to get into.
Oh, okay. That's why I kind of said, if you know, somebody wants to help fund some of our future projects, we do have a vested interest.
Well, thank you very much.